Good morning. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 6. And we'll read from verses 19 to 25. Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 25. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in or steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. So then if your eye is clear, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is the darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and wealth. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning and pray that as we go into your word, we ask that you speak or that we hear, God, what you are saying. Have our hearts open and attentive to your presence and your words, Lord, and we just want to say that we are privileged, Lord, and so grateful to be in your presence today. So we thank you. We pray all these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. All right, so this passage, if you don't know, is part of the Sermon on the Mount, and as we're going through this on Sunday, I feel like we're going to be beating these passages to death or will so in the near future. But yet, here we are preaching on this morning. So this passage we're pretty familiar with. And basically, on the very, I guess, surface, what it's trying to teach is that we should pursue things of the kingdom and that we should pursue treasures in heaven. And these things, treasures in heaven, is not a theologically abstract kind of things. For treasures in heaven, according to this passage, or treasures in God's kingdom, are things that are actually of worth in his kingdom, and they are things that he values and he places worth in. And some of these things include justice and righteousness and generosity and devotion to the Lord and salvation of the lost. And in seeking these things, seeking the treasures of heaven or treasures of his heaven, through the work that we do, we are rewarded. Now, as I was reading this this morning, a thought came to me, and oftentimes, as I was growing up and as I kind of speak to people, oftentimes we think of treasures in heaven as something that we make a future investment in. And certainly there are passages in the Bible that make that kind of image that we store up treasures in heaven as a future reward, right? We do these things so that we can get these rewards in the future when we die and we, have eternal life. But this is all something that's in the future, right? But there's also this teaching in Matthew, as Jesus carries on his ministry, where he teaches that the kingdom is at hand, right? Where he's, and Jesus came onto this earth, not just so that we could have eternal life, right? So he came on this earth not just so that we could have eternal life, but also to inaugurate his kingdom on earth. So we pray, Lord, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus came to start his kingdom, to bring about his kingdom. That's why we have this saying, his kingdom is here, is already, but not yet. So while the fullness of his kingdom is in here, his kingdom is here. So while we think like, oh, we want to do all these things, we want to store up treasures in heaven so we get a future reward, I want to kind of change our thinking in that it's not necessarily that we store treasures in heaven. Yes, part of it is, but also part of it is that we get these rewards now. It's not just something that we receive, 60, 70 years later when we pass away and we go to heaven. It's not about us, getting away from, I'll leave that point later. It's not about, let me store up as much as I can and I can gain this eternal reward. It's not just about that, but it's about receiving these rewards now. And if we have that mindset, it radically changes how we approach our life. You know, are we doing things and like, okay, I'm going to do this and ignore, I don't know, this person. That's a bad example. But you guys know what I mean, right? It's not about just the future, right? It's not about doing things for our future and getting things in the future, but it's about also getting rewards now. And that's why in Matthew chapter 18, 29, 30, Jesus says, "And he said to them, truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or wife or brothers or parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God who will not receive many times as much at this time and in the age to come, eternal life." So Jesus is also saying it's not just in the future, but it's also now. Right? And I was going through this morning, I just that point came to me, you know, is it really made led me to ask, you know, is the kingdom in the future or now? Right? And it really emphasized this point that it's both. You know, a lot of times, you know, again, I know I'm beating this point to death, but I think it's really important for us to know that the kingdom of God or heaven isn't just far, far away, but it's here. God has already inaugurated his kingdom, and Jesus rules, right? And Jesus will come back to reclaim his throne in full. But that was just a little bit of a tangent as I was reading. But, you know, it really changes how we view things and, you know, how we operate. You know, it makes us kind of more aware, you know, am I really living out his kingdom? Because if his kingdom, you know, it leads to other, having this mindset leads to other things where, you know, if we know his kingdom is here and we're living and this world should go according to his rules, you know, stuff like healing should come a lot more natural because, Lord, this is what you have ordained. These are, I guess, the laws of your kingdom, that there is no sickness. And if we kind of operate according to that, we are able to, in our minds, rebuke, you know what Pine was saying yesterday, we rebuke, or he was saying we curse sickness, and we curse, you know, the schemes of the enemy to curse them to not bear fruit. You know, in other words, to rebuke them, to reject them. And having this mindset, we are able to be filled with more faith and to believe more and to really declare and to speak these things into existence. So that's, I guess, a little mini first point about how this kingdom is, you know, treasures in heaven aren't just for the future, but it's also for now. And, you know, one example that I can come up with, you know, last week, my wife and I were in Taipei and we were there for the LAM conference. And one of the couples in our group all of a sudden decided to pay for dinner. And we're like, oh, that's so great. And then we were talking about it after and we were saying, you know, generosity is so contagious, right? And we think that when we practice generosity, we'll get rewarded in the future. But when we start practicing generosity for this couple, they all of a sudden, I don't know why, we didn't ask them why, but we were able to talk to them later. And I know that in them practicing generosity, our hearts were open. And we were like, oh, of course we would want to share with our group members. And so, you know, we bought coffee, we brought snacks, and we shared. And we really opened up our hearts and really spent time with them, not just giving them, you know, sharing material things, but also opening up our hearts and ministering to them and praying for them and really, like, there's one lunchtime we're supposed to come back 2:00, but we came back at 2:30 because we were just ministering to them and helping them, you know, walk through some of their issues, some of the things that they've been going through. And, you know, had we been, I think if they didn't start off by paying for that dinner, we'd be like, okay, you know, we'll still talk with them, but we're like, you know, well, we got to go back because it's, you know, got to keep time. But because they had done this and we wanted just to, you know, show our appreciation and really bless them in whatever way that we could. And so, you know, I would say that we gained some pretty good friends. We're actually going back in August and they're like, oh, please, you got to stay with us. And we're like, okay. Because they have a baby that's just around the same age as Jared, so they should have a lot of baby stuff that we can use. And anyways, so going on. So in the passage that we read, Matthew is presenting a choice. So he uses three examples to present this idea that, you know, there is a choice to be made. And you can see the structure is set up where, you know, you have treasures on earth versus treasures in heaven. You have a clear eye versus a bad eye. And you have God as master versus wealth or mammon as master. And in thinking about choice and the mechanics of choice, I guess this kind of goes into the second area I want to talk about. There's always a sacrifice that's involved. You know, when we choose one option, we sacrifice the other option. You know, making a choice, there's also rejection. And we don't really think about that. It doesn't really occur to us. Like, oh yeah, I am rejecting. But when you make a choice, you choose one, right? Or you're supposed to. And I think that's a scary thing for us today, where it's hard for us to make a choice. We want to keep our options open, and we become this culture of choice. I don't know if you guys have heard of this book. It's called Paradox of Choice. And basically, it talks about how we have so many choices today that we can't make a choice, that we're paralyzed and when we're frozen because we're so afraid of making the wrong choice. We're so afraid that, what if I choose this, if I go down this path, I can't see what this path is. You know, we always want to extract maximum value, want to get the most out of our life. And if I go down this way, then maybe I can't, you know, get this. You know, when I was younger, back when I was very, very lost, I was deciding whether to date one girl or the other, you know. And I said, well, if I date this one girl, it'd be like this. But then, I won't get too much into it, but like, again, you guys know what I mean. We don't want to give up our options. We want to keep our options open. And this leads to a lack of commitment. There's actually a really good example, I think I have time, is actually real estate. So real estate back in the day, one of the most important things of real estate is information, right? What with, you know, if you, back in the day, because there's no internet, there's people weren't able to get information by themselves. They would have to go to a real estate agent. And the real estate agent would know, you know, market trends, market prices, what the price of a particular area is like, and so on and so forth. But with the advent of the internet, people were able to get all this information by themselves, right? Regular people. And they're like, oh, I know this, the price of this house, or I know the price of this flat, so I can negotiate by myself. I just need an agent to really provide, you know, some advice, but I can do this by myself. And through that, I can lower my cost. I can make sure that I extract maximum value. But what ended up happening with real estate, on the internet especially, is that because of the internet, people actually had way too many choices. And because they weren't experts in the field, they didn't know what choices to make. Right? They were able to find out the price of the flat or the square foot and, you know, pictures, but they weren't able to get a lot of the advice. And so what ended up happening is that realtors were able to control the market. They were able to really demand more for their services because people didn't know what to do. People didn't know what choice to make, and they needed help. Like, oh, I really need your help in helping me decide, like, which of these 100 properties is right, because you guys are the experts. You guys are always out in the field, and you know the market. In life, we are faced with these choices, and you know, a lot of times we don't want to make that sacrifice. You know, it's like, what do I eat as my last meal before the fast? You know, because it's important. I'm not going to eat for 21 days. I got to make sure this meal really fills me up. And the worst thing is if you have like a really, really crappy meal before the fast, you're like, oh no, I don't get to eat for another 21 days. My last memory of eating is this, you know, burger from McDonald's, or heaven forbid, a microwave meal from 7-Eleven. And, you know, speaking into our life as Christians, I hope that we've moved on from this unfounded fear that following God presents this huge sacrifice, that if I choose God, there's all these things that I won't be able to do. And I hope that we've moved on from that fear that, you know, if we follow God, we'll become poor and destitute and, you know, living the life of a monk and not having anything and begging on the street. And that's, you know, that's really a lie from the enemy that, unfortunately, a lot of us, or not a lot of us, but many Christians fall into. But, you know, sacrifice is required in following God. But again, sacrifice is required in anything that we do. And I guess this is my point. You know, sacrifice, while not just exclusive to Christians, in our sacrifice, we aren't missing out on anything. In even for my wife and I going to Taipei, we had to sacrifice. When we were deciding to go, we're like, okay, Jared's going to be around 6 months. He's starting solids. We want to be there for him. He might be needy. Like, what if, you know, what if we don't watch him and, you know, something's going to happen? And, you know, we created all these ridiculous scenarios, right? And we're like, and we went, we came back and you're like, he's fine. He's a little bit more needy because I think he realized that we were gone and we left him for a week. And you're like, wait a second, you guys haven't been here for a week. So he's been crying a little bit more. But, you know, I was telling Cora when we were deciding to go, you know, whatever we do, there's always going to be a sacrifice. There's always going to be things that we miss out on. But the reality is, and this applies to our lives as Christians, in our sacrifice, we're not necessarily missing out. Yes, there's things that we won't be able to experience, but that's like, it's with any other choice. You know, the important thing is, are we missing out on what God has to offer to us, on what God's best for us is? And when we choose to follow him, we don't have to worry about that. We're always going to get God's best when we choose to follow him. That sacrifice isn't really a sacrifice at all. You know, we're not missing out. You know, there's no need to be FOMO, I guess, if you really need to, you know, have a point to take away that in our sacrifice, you know, God will provide. And I think really the key is in verse 25 here. And I don't think the verse is saying, you know, this is what happens when you choose A, or this is what happens when you choose B. You know, verse 25, at least for myself when I read it, God is more, it's almost as if God is saying, because you have chosen to follow me, because you have made this choice to choose treasures in heaven, because you have chosen the good eye, because you have chosen God as your master, all these things will follow. Because you look at, you know, it's like verse 25 all the way to 34 is God saying, because you have chosen this, this is what's going to happen. Look at the birds of the sky. You know, they don't worry about anything. Look at, you know, you worry about how you're going to clothe yourself. Look at the lilies of the field. I clothe them just like that, just like the flowers of the field. I will clothe you as well. I will clothe you. And he says it with certainty. Not, if you choose me, then I will. But Jesus is, at least how I read it, he's speaking from the perspective of, I will do this because you have chosen. You have chosen to be faithful, so I too will be faithful to you. So as we pray and worship today, I don't know where you guys are at individually, but if you are going through a decision or you're going through a process where you do feel like, oh man, I don't know if If you're being faced with a hard choice, just know that whatever the choice that God is speaking to you about, yes, there is a sacrifice that is involved. But in saying that, the sacrifice isn't the focal point. It is a reminder, but that's not the focal point. The focal point is, as we go back to the beginning of the passage, the treasures in heaven that you receive. Right? And when you do decide to follow him, he's opening up his entire storehouse, all the privileges and benefits of heaven, of his kingdom to you. He's saying, don't worry, I got you. For this reason, I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as to what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Let's pray.
Thank you.
So as we worship and pray, as we worship and pray. Hello, Tess. Good.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Testing, 1, 2, 3.
They're both good.
Hello? Testing. Test.
It's also prayer for those in our community who have various infirmities and sicknesses. There's been a lot of staff too that are sick right now. So let's cover everyone in our community against any potential illnesses ahead of the retreat. Pray for those in our community that are looking for jobs. Pray for God to open doors and just for that peace of God to come into their hearts as they look for more opportunities. Turning to our Wednesday morning prayer focus, let's pray for China. Let's pray for SP Beijing, Pastor Hansu and Chloe, and Enoch as they pastor our community up in Beijing. Let's also pray for the Chong family, Matt and Nate's parents, Edie Clark, and all the churches around China that they continue to make an impact in their communities and in the government and in the entire country as a whole. Let's pray for the board and everyone up on the screen. Let's pray that as they steer the church in the direction which God is intending us to go, that they hear clearly and that they use wisdom and discernment from God to just to guide the church. Let's pray for our fellowship ministries, the men's ministry with a Monday morning prayer, Pure Desire men's fraternity groups, women's ministry with their Monday morning prayer, their discipleship and fellowship, as well as the young adults, the single life workshop that's coming up, and the Yahweh Eats. Let's pray for Alpha. That is ongoing right now until the end of June. Let's pray for all guests and volunteers and for the guests that they just feel safe to come into environment to ask questions and to really explore this path that God has placed them on. Pray for the house churches tonight, for Cimbria, Causeway Bay, East Enders, Javi Valley, Island, New Conduit, and Robin Hood, that as they meet before the break, that they will have a good time of fellowship and just be able to pray in before the retreat. And lastly, let's pray for the retreat that's coming up tomorrow, believe it or not. Let's pray for all the transportation, the buses on Friday, the venue, the hotel, all the logistics that are involved, that there be no last-minute emergencies or anything that comes up, that we will not fall to the schemes of the enemy. Let's just pray right now against the schemes of the enemy, of what he's trying to do to disrupt the retreat, to prevent ourselves, any situations in our lives that come up that are just preventing us from coming to God and to seeing what He has in store. So let's pray. Let's really pray into this. I just feel led by God to just pray, to pray for our transportation. Just cover our buses, the bus drivers, that people will show up on time, that no one will be left behind, and as we go, that we are covered by God, that our buses will get the border safe, we will cross the border safe, and our buses will get to the hotel without any incidents. So let's pray. Let's just really pray for covering protection over our transportation. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you, God, that that you made the ultimate sacrifice, God, and that you opened up the kingdom of heaven to us, God. And it's not just in the future, it's not far away, but it's now that we get to do things in your name, and these things do come to pass. Because you have paved the way for us. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for our ability to heal, God, to heal through you. We thank you just for the things that we are able to do and for all the blessings that you give us, not just in the future, but now as well, Father. So, Lord, I pray that you be with us. Continue to protect us, Lord. I pray for covering over all of us here today who are listening online, for everyone of this church, every single member. For everyone that is going to the retreat, Lord, that you prepare our hearts, God, that you open the doors, Lord, for that you fill us, God, with your spirit, Lord, to have that single-minded pursuit of you, God, and that we position ourselves ready to worship. We position ourselves ready to come before you, not just so that we can receive, but that we can bless others as well, Lord, and that you set a fire in our hearts to this expectation of you coming, Lord. And it's not just an abstract idea of you coming, but a physical manifestation of you coming in this place into the hotel in Dongguan, Lord. We just pray for that, Lord. So, Father, we thank you, God, for this morning, Lord. We just really want to just thank you, Lord, for this time that you've given to us, Father. We pray all these things in your Son's most precious name. Amen. I hope you enjoy the rest of your prayer time. And we'll see you tomorrow morning.